Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Rob Sheffield is a karaoke fiend, so you might think he's got a great voice. But you'd probably be wrong. Even Rob says he's been described as a hard trier, a good sport, and a vocal Chernobyl. Ouch. Still, Rob Sheffield has made an enduring contribution to the world of superstar singer wannabes with a new book that pays homage to the uplifting qualities of karaoke. That book, Turn Around Bright Eyes, The Rituals of Love and Karaoke. In fact, you might say that karaoke saved Rob after his first wife died suddenly and he became what he calls a miserable widower with no idea how to muddle on. Muddle on he has. Rob Sheffield is also the author of Love is a Mixtape and Talking to Girls About Duran Duran. He's a contributing editor at Rolling Stone, and he joins us right now. Rob, good morning. So good to have you.
Thank you so much. So good to see you.
So why karaoke? Why karaoke instead of, say, you know, basketball?
Karaoke, it's a beautiful thing because it allows anybody to participate in music, even those of us with no talent whatsoever. And it's something that if you grow up a music fan and you love music and you're passionate about music and you love to talk about it and argue about it and write about it, but you can't sing or play an instrument or anything like that, karaoke is really a mind-altering experience.
So, but if you're not any good at it, Rob, why would somebody want to do it?
It's I guess, the sheer love of it, the fact that in karaoke, it doesn't really matter whether you're good at it or not. It's all about the enthusiasm and the passion that you put into it. It's just how much of your heart you put into it.
You know, in some ways, as you write so well in your book, Turn Around Bright Eyes, it saved you. How so? How did karaoke save Rob Sheffield?
Well, karaoke can be a really emotionally intense experience just because you're getting up there in front of strangers and you're taking real emotional risks. And, you know, you're stepping up in front of a group of people and announcing not only that you love a Britney Spears song, but you're about to sing a Britney Spears song and, you know, you're basically daring them to walk out. That's a real risk emotionally. And it was something that entered my life about 10 years ago. I was at kind of a low point. I was in a new town living alone. I was a widower and I was having trouble getting out of my shell. Karaoke was something that sort of forced me to go out in front of people and make a fool out of myself, which turned out to be just what I needed.
Do you recall the first time you did it, Rob?
Yes, it was terrifying. It was a typical karaoke initiation. I was out to dinner with a couple of friends, and they said, oh, let's go to karaoke. And I thought, great, I'll sit there, I'll be a good sport, I'll clap, I'll cheer, and I am not getting up and singing, no way. And then, of course, maybe a bit of liquid courage gets into my bones, and I get swept up in the fun of it all, and I get up to sing a Neil Diamond song. And it was mind-blowing. It was so fun, and I couldn't believe that it was such a warm, embracing environment that, you know, people go to karaoke because they like to listen to other people sing.
Which Neil Diamond song was it?
It was I Am, I Said. Do you remember that one?
Of course. Are you kidding me?
Man, I love that. It's perfect. Neil Diamond just writes the most brilliant karaoke songs because he likes to put in lots of breathing room and he likes to put out a dramatic phrase and then step back and let it sink in so you can catch your breath. So this one is, you know, I am, I said.
Yes, yes.
To no one there. It's really dramatic, but it's doable and it's fantastic.
Well, he's always sort of a mixture of loud speaking and actually singing, right? You can sort of say
yes,
Neil
exactly.
Diamond lyrics and sort of get away with three quarters of it, you know?
Yeah.
I loved your description of Sing Sing on Avenue A in New York. This is one of your favorite places on the planet. And it's a karaoke bar. It's called Sing Sing, appropriately enough. And it's definitely not upscale. What do you like so much about it, Robin? And describe it for us.
Well, in many ways, it's a typical karaoke dive. You go in there and it's dim lights and everything is painted red and black. And the furniture is clearly picked out by a colorblind stripper in 1982. It's very, very shabby. But the thing is, these places, they know that you come there that's the sign of a true karaoke den. You don't go there for the fancy decor or the tasty drinks or the ambiance. You go there because you need to sing. And they've got a nice fat songbook and a really enthusiastic crowd. And it makes it a karaoke shrine for me.
A songbook with plastic covers on each of the sheets, right?
Yes, yes. Because since a drink has been spilled on at least every page.
Yeah. Well, let me get our listeners involved here this morning. Obviously, we're talking about karaoke. We're going to have some karaoke here. Nathan Graner will be joining us, the great Kansas City singer, just joining us in a little bit here. If you are a karaoke-er, if that's a word, we want to hear from you. Why do you like it? What's your all-time favorite karaoke song? Why do people enjoy watching it? And might you just hum a few bars for us if you give us a call? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address, UpToDate at KCUR.org. You can also tweet us at KCUR UpToDate. You know, I've never have heard of this before, Rob, this notion that Sing Sing, your favorite karaoke bar, has private rooms. You know, I thought karaoke was something people did in front of a huge room. So why go to a private room at Sing Sing?
They're different kinds of emotional experiences. I like to go with a private room with a group of maybe 7 or 8 friends, and we just bombard each other with requests, and we just do duets, and we throw surprises at each other. And it's a really just intense way to share music with a bunch of people that you know, although you might find out things about them that you didn't know before. Like they know the words to every single Toni Braxton song ever. It's amazing because karaoke, part of it is that sort of interaction with strangers, you know, that you can have these really intense emotional moments when you're just standing up in front of a room full of people just butchering a Bon Jovi song at 3 a.m.
So how many, in a private room, how many people hear you sing?
Well, I was at a private room the other night, and there were 8 of us. There were some friends from out of town, and we just wanted to sing for hours and just throw requests and surprises at each other. And it was really an intense way to bond. It's really comes down to just sharing music, which is a fundamental human emotional need. Yeah. And there's so many different ways to share music, and this is just one of them. But it's a fundamental need to share music with people that you love.
What's a private room at Sing Sing cost you?
Well, it's $8 per person per hour.
Okay.
The really dangerous part is there's a buzzer in the room that you press for drinks, and that's maybe where it gets a little out of control. The other places you could press the buzzer and order nachos or chicken fingers or stuff like that. So it's basically like a casino. You know, there's no windows, there's no clock. You can't tell how much time is going by, and you know, you sing for a while and then you blink your eyes and go, wait a minute, that was 6 hours?
Oh, that's funny.
It's been known to happen.
Again, if our listeners, if you enjoy karaoke, what's your all-time favorite karaoke song? Why do people enjoy watching it? Why do you enjoy watching it? And maybe will you sing a few bars for us? And where do you go in Kansas City for a great night spent singing karaoke? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. UpToDate at KCUR.org is our email address. Tweet us at KCUR UpToDate. Judith from Overland Park. Good morning, Judith.
Hi, dear.
You're a fan of karaoke. How come?
You know, I have not done a lot of karaoke, but I do like to sing. But here's the story. I'm turning 50 next month. I have asked for a birthday party with cocktails and karaoke. I am just finishing up treatment for breast cancer.
Ah.
And I just thought it would be a great way to celebrate. Really fun to hear everyone singing and just having a really delicious cocktail. And every karaoke song I want to sing is sort of modeling like no one would want to hear it. But anyway, that's just it. I just think it's wonderful when people are just singing and relaxing and enjoying themselves.
You know, Judith, for you coming through your breast cancer experience, how cathartic was it for you, the night, I guess, you did, or did you do it multiple nights?
Are you talking about karaoke?
Yes.
You know, I haven't done it yet. I'm going to do it for my birthday party. But I do sing with the Kansas City Symphony and chorus, and getting back to that has been just an incredibly amazing experience. So it's going to be fun to hear everybody else do their thing.
Yeah, that's
great. Do you have a song picked out?
So I want to sing?
Do you have a song picked out?
But it's not going to be on any karaoke list. I want to sing Way Over Yonder, even though I'm healthy. It's a very spiritual song to me from Carole King. It's such a great song. So
such a great song.
If somebody has it somewhere, I'm belting it out.
Judith, hang on. Would that song be at Sing Sing in New York City, Rob?
They do have an awful lot of Carole King. She's one of those karaoke gods.
So there's a chance then, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Judith, I'm glad you're healthy. Best of luck to you, and thanks for calling us today.
Thank you. Have a great time.
You bet. Bye. Thanks. Bye-bye. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. We're talking about karaoke. Where's the best place in the Kansas City area to go enjoy an evening of karaoke? Again, 816-235-2888. Email us UpToDate at kcur.org. You can also tweet us at kcurUpToDate. The title of your new book, Rob, is a reference to Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart. Why that song?
It's one of those karaoke classics written by the great Jim Steinman, who also wrote all those great songs for Meatloaf and Air Supply, everybody. Yeah. And the great thing about Total Eclipse of the Heart, for me personally, it's the first karaoke song I ever sang as a duet with my wife when we met about 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we went to a party. She didn't know anybody. And I said, let's do a duet. And we just picked that song. And I watched her sing that song in front of people that she didn't know. And I thought, wow, this woman is fearless.
I know the song. Is that a hard song to sing?
Well, there's a hard part and there's an easy part. And I tend to take the easy part, the part that just goes, turn around.
Yeah.
And then there's the part that has about 600 words per verse. And the thing is, like, it's a song that anybody can belt and the crowd will join in, which is one of the beauties of karaoke, which is just that it can turn a room full of strangers into suddenly it's like you've been in a band together for years.
Well, what are some of the other great karaoke songs?
Well, two of the really big ones are Don't Stop Believin'
Journey,
Living
right?
On a Prayer. Yes. Yeah. Any Bon Jovi song. It's really amazing
Bon Jovi or Journey?
Well, there's the Bon Jovi song, Living on a Prayer.
That's right.
And
that's
then
right,
there's
yeah.
the Journey
the
song,
Journey
Don't
song.
Stop Believin'.
Yeah.
These songs, because they're so big and mass-processed sounding, they're really easy for people to join in. And it's really amazing how that kind of karaoke anthem can just turn a room full of drunk strangers into a community. And it's really beautiful how at any karaoke place, you'll see strangers clapping for each other and cheering for each other and high-fiving for each other. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, that's great. Let's go back to some phone calls here. 816-235-2888. Annie from Kansas City, Kansas. Why do you enjoy karaoke so much?
Hi. I love karaoke because it's a way for people to experience music in a public place that they usually do by themselves.
Yeah.
People listen to records on their iPods or on their record players, and singing them out loud in front of people makes them privy to humiliation and glory at the same time.
That's very well said, Annie.
Yes.
Yeah, you can have some moments of ecstasy and shame, and they can be wrapped up in the same moment. And also, Mr. Sheffield, I'm a huge fan of yours. Love is a Mixtape was amazing, and I can't wait to read the new book.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I've been a big fan of yours for a while.
You like Downtown by Petula Clark, right?
Yeah, that's my standard. When I'm in front of people, I know I can always knock that one out.
That's amazing.
Yeah. There's a nice little area in the middle, like a 16-bar break when you can either riff or dance or call out to your friend in the
right.
audience.
That's right. Where do you go in Kansas City to have some fun with karaoke, Annie?
I really like the Brick on 16th and McGee. They have hosts there that are really encouraging, and the crowd there, it's very therapeutic and really, really fun. Monday nights.
Oh, that's great. Annie, I'm glad you called. Have fun singing downtown. You bet. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Pam from Overland Park. Pam, you're on UpToDate. We're talking about karaoke today, and tenor Nathan Graner is going to join us in just a few minutes.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you that my first experience with karaoke was in Borneo.
Wow.
In a small river town kind of sort of hotel club. And we had just spent 2.5 weeks with the orangutans. And we were there, and these Korean guys got up and did, like, the hokey pokey, and we all started dancing. And I have never laughed so hard in my life. It was so cathartic, and the previous caller also elaborated on that. It was a scream. So I just wanted to tell you it's totally universal, and that was 1985.
Where is Borneo?
Wow.
Borneo, it's right across from Indonesia.
Okay.
It's right, well, they call it Kalimantan also, but it's where the reserve for, Barute Gildakis, who was part of the threesome for the Goodall and the Fosse group.
Mm-hmm.
And she had her camp up the river there. But anyway, no, it was just the best evening I've ever had in my life.
That's a great story, Pam. Thanks for sharing it. I appreciate it,
Jeff. Okay.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Kelly from Lenexa. Kelly, you're on with Rob Sheffield. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. I wanted to share that I go to St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Overland Park, and we recently had a karaoke night, and it was so much fun. And what I loved about it, what I realized about karaoke is how it was totally intergenerational. There were little kids, and there were seniors, and there were singles and families. And sometimes we would get up and do funny groups, and it wasn't church songs that we were singing. I mean, there was, you know, all the women of the church and little girls, we all got up and sang Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And it was just this great, you know, like I said, little kids and everybody cheering on the little kids who are singing and, you know, doing solos and older people and, gosh, widows and families. It was just really a great event.
Oh, that's great, Kelly. Good memory. Thanks for sharing it with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right. Michael from Lawrence. Michael, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
How you doing?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I was just calling. I like to share my experience. You know, I like to sing Madonna, Borderline. It's just kind of a song I used to sing when I was working in the kitchen. We'd do some prep, and we had this mezzaluna that we'd cut parsley with, and when we'd, you know, chop it back and forth, we always had to sing Borderline. It was something that we always made the new guys have to do, and we'd go to a karaoke place. That was always the first song we had to sing, was the Borderline song. So
that's great.
Pretty funny.
That's great. Michael, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Sure, yeah. Thank you.
You know, Rob, what do you have to make a great karaoke song? What component parts does it have to have for something to be a song that karaoke-ers are going to gravitate to?
Well, it's funny because I love all these stories that people have about all these different songs. And it's funny that almost any song can work at karaoke if you work it. And it's just a beautiful thing. It's like, I love what Annie said about how it's humiliation and glory in the same moment. That really kind of sums it up.
Yeah.
It's funny that the one kind of song I try to avoid are songs that are too long or too sad. I went to a karaoke place and they said, we have only two rules, no American Pie and no Stairway to Heaven. And they said, they're both great songs. They're just too long and too sad. I think that's maybe
that
a useful rule of thumb.
And different songs, obviously, they bring out different emotions, different memories, even for someone like yourself, Rob.
Yes, it's really amazing how you can have these emotional connections to these songs just because music is always the soundtrack of our lives. And all the memories that we have are evoked in the music that we listen to. And it's funny how you can hear a song on the radio just singing along in your car and you think it's something trivial and light, and it triggers memories that you didn't know you had. And it's just a beautiful thing how music can tap into those memories like nothing else. And it's something that always fascinates me, is that power of music to evoke that emotion.
Well, if somebody's like really into karaoke, is there a name for them? Is what do you call that person? You need a name.
Just a karaoke fiend, karaoke hound, or maybe just, you know, a regular at Sing Sing.
816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address, uptodate@kcur.org. We're talking karaoke this morning on Up to Date. Lois from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Lois.
I related to everything that your guest started out with, why I took him to karaoke. And that was my experience. So I've enjoyed listening to everybody's comments.
They're great stories, aren't they?
Oh, my.
What's your story, Lois?
I lost a spouse. And he was a band instructor, but he also had a band, and he did the singing, and I never did. So when I lost him, I had no personal identity, and I just thought I would die in front of the TV at old age. Glued to the TV, and I thought, I've got to do something different. There was a bar close to my home that said karaoke tonight, and I thought, by golly, I got to make new friends. And so I went there once a week and just listened and watched the people, and I enjoyed getting in other people's lives. And finally, they started saying, hi, good to see you again. And before long, they got me in front of the microphone, and that was all that it took.
Yeah, Lois, I think Rob's story is pretty similar to yours. I think, Rob, you were dying in cheese curds or something like that and when you got hooked up with karaoke.
In front of the TV. That's such a beautiful story. Do you remember what song that you sang when you finally got up?
You know, I don't remember the first song, but the one I always end up singing because it's too much fun, and it's Poor Me by Trick Pony.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, it's an interesting song, and it doesn't relate to me, but I love to sing it. And a lot of crazy songs, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Lois, I'm glad you called. Great story. Thanks for sharing it with us.
I appreciated making the friends that I made, and it got me out of a deep cloud. And there's nothing wrong with making a fool of yourself.
No, good for you for getting off the couch. That's great advice, Lois. I appreciate it. Yeah.
You bet.
Thanks, Lois.
The talk show tonight. Bye.
Well, we've got a special treat right now. Tenor Nathan Graner, the great tenor Nathan Graner, is going to sing for us from our Prod studio here this morning. He's going to sing a well-known karaoke classic, I think, We Are the Champions by Queen. Nathan, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you?
Are you ready to rip here?
Yes, we're ready to go.
Show us. This is a professional performance of a karaoke song, by the way. I'm not sure I could duplicate it. Nathan, go ahead.
Okay, thanks.
I've paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence but committed no crime. Bad mistakes, I've made a few. I've had my share of sand here to my face, but I'll come. Taking my bows and my curtain calls, you brought me fame and fortune and everything that goes with it. I thank you all. You spend no better roses. There have been no better roses, no pleasure cruise. I consider it a challenge before the whole human race. And I champions, we are the champions.
something. Now, who is going to go to a karaoke bar after hearing that? That was amazing.
Okay, well, now, I've been going and singing karaoke since I was a young boy.
What was that?
That's how I used to get into bars when I was a kid.
Is that right?
But now we do this thing called the karaoke challenge where people can come up to me and challenge me from, you know, 1 to 4 stars, a really challenging song that I've never seen before or something. So it equals it out because, like, they'll, you know, choose, you know, gin and juice or something. And I'm like, downtown and the gin and juice.
But no one's going to want to follow you once you've been up on stage. Rob Sheffield, would you follow Nathan Graner up on the stage?
With great trepidation.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
See,
absolutely.
I try to really, I mean, for me, like, if it were really me, I would be singing it. We are the champions, my friend. You know, just to, because, nobody likes a ringer, you know, in the room.
Well, speaking of that, a listener has just written to us to ask this, Rob. Is one expected to politely listen when the singer is absolutely horrible, or is booing and heckling bad form? What is the etiquette there?
Ah, no, booing and heckling is extremely bad form. The whole karaoke code is that everybody has their moment to turn into a star.
That's
and
right.
You go to karaoke because you love to see ordinary people turn into stars. And it's funny that for someone like Nathan, it's not even like you're a ringer, but just somebody who, you know, that beast comes out of you when you, when you open your mouth.
That's
it was a beautiful thing to witness. But also the way that, you know, you don't know how the backing track's going to be. Sometimes it, like, messes up. Like with your timing and everything, and a true karaoke god, which clearly you are, just rolls with it.
Yeah.
Just surfs that wave.
Yeah. Well, let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some more with Rob Sheffield about his book on karaoke. The title again, Turn Around Bright Eyes, The Rituals of Love and Karaoke. Nathan and KCUR's Lori Arbor, who happens to be Nathan's wife, will also join us for one more song in our second half. And later on, Brian McTavish swings by with our weekend to-do list. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And welcome back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed yesterday's conversations about housing for families in need or the relationship between Eisenhower and Nixon, you can find those in all of our previous broadcasts. Just go to kcur.org. Monday on the show, psychologist Wes Crenshaw returns with a look at the effect pornography has on teen and young adult sexual development. Well, this hour we're talking about karaoke. We're joined this hour by Rob Sheffield, who has a new book out, and that book, Turn Around Bright Eyes, The Rituals of Love and Karaoke. He joins us this morning from New York. Well, we're also joined by tenor Nathan Graner. He'll be joined by his wife, Lori Arbor, in just a moment for one more karaoke song. And anyone out there who wants to try to follow up Nathan Graner and hum a few bars, give us a call. Why do you like karaoke? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here, our email address, uptodate@kcur.org, or you can tweet us at @kcuruptodate. Rob, why did you think there was an entire book in a topic like karaoke?
Well, people get so passionate about karaoke, mainly because, as one of the callers said, this is a really brilliant way to put it, but people spend so much time listening to music by themselves, like on their iPod or in the car, and being able to sort of step up into a crowd, even if it's a room full of drunk strangers you've never seen before and you're never going to see again, it's just a powerful thing to be able to share music with people. And I sort of wanted to do justice to that phenomenon as a cultural phenomenon, but also just as an emotional phenomenon.
Yeah. You know, speaking of cultural phenomenons and how this impacts people, here's a great story. Cynthia in Prairie Village just wrote to us at uptodate@kcur.org. She writes this, Rob, my ex-husband spent time in Afghanistan and told me that every time their convoy drove out of the gate into hostile territory, his section sergeant would start singing a song. One day, that song was Believe by Cher. All the boys started singing along, and Cher was echoing through the mountains of Afghanistan. There you go.
That is beautiful.
Great
I love
story.
That.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that story. That's great.
Hey, how has singing karaoke bled back into your job writing about music at Rolling Stone? I mean, has it helped you appreciate music more, or what's been the impact, Rob?
Well, definitely, it changes your outlook on music, especially when you realize, not like I didn't know before, but doing music is hard. It just increases your respect for people who actually have that talent and the discipline to make something of that talent. And it's really amazing how all my life I've been trying to learn guitar chords or take piano lessons or just learn to sing on time. And it's really amazing that I'm just increasingly in awe of people who can actually do it,
yeah,
and people who can actually perform.
You know, there is this irony involved here a little bit in what you're doing, because in a sense, professionally, you're constantly searching for the next big thing in music yourself. But then you take this great joy in not being able to sing all that well. I mean, do you view it that way or not? In fact, there's irony there.
I wouldn't necessarily call it irony, but there is, you know, you live with the contradictions of the things you love and the things that you can do, and that they're not always the same thing. And it's always funny to me how actual rock stars love karaoke. And it's really funny talking to rock stars and you bring up karaoke and they get really excited. Simon Le Bon of Duran Duran is one of my favorite rock stars who ever lived. I mentioned that I was writing a book about karaoke to him, and he started telling me about the first time he did karaoke in Malaysia in 1988.
Wow.
The band was on tour, and he started singing Material Girl. And I just thought, this is so funny that this is an actual rock star. He has his own songs and his own fans, and he could, you know, he's been on the road for 30 years singing his music in packed houses. What is it about karaoke that was special to him? Why does he even remember this particular memory?
Who started karaoke?
Well, it started in Japan in the 70s. The word karaoke is a Japanese word that means empty orchestra.
Ah.
And it became huge in Asia, and it wasn't until the 1990s that it really started to catch on in America. And it was still pretty obscure 20 years ago. But it's funny that as soon as people found out about it, they wanted it in their town. At this point, you know, every town in America has its karaoke night.
Yeah. Mark from Weston. Mark, good morning. You're on with Rob Sheffield. How are you?
I am well. I hope you all are as well.
We're having a great time.
Fantastic. Just wanted to share a quick story. We were down in Gulf Shores, Alabama on a family vacation this year.
I've done that.
And we ended up in this hole-in-the-wall place. But what I loved is I got to sing Folsom Prison Blues with my daughter, Sadie Rose. And what was really ironic was it was very kid-friendly. And most karaoke places I've been to are not. But there were kids ages 9, 12, 13, 14 having a ball. And it was quite an experience and one I won't forget.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for calling, Mark. Great story. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Take care.
Rachel from Olathe. Rachel, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing great.
Great.
Why do you like it?
I was going to say great conversation. I was telling the person that answered the phone that my main thing is I like shock value. I like leafing through the book and finding songs that either haven't been picked or no one would ever believe are actually in the book. And then singing those. Yeah, like I was telling her, Birdhouse in Your Soul or... one of my favorite ones, and absolutely can't sing on the radio, not safe for work if you catch my drift, is Adam Sandler's At a Medium Pace.
it's
pretty interesting when you belt that one out in a bar and you're like, oh my God, what?
Well, Rachel, Beth Lipoff, who screened our call, says you're willing to sing a little bit from Summertime from Porgy and Bess.
Absolutely.
Let her rip. Give us 15 seconds.
All right. Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high.
Wow.
Your daddy's rich, and your mama's good looking. Hush, little baby, don't you cry.
Oh, that's great, Rachel. That's
nice.
Terrific. Very nice. Very nice. Thanks for making the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, appreciate
it. You're welcome, hon. Have a good day.
Okay, let's do this. Let's take let's go back to our production studio here with Nathan Graner, and Lori Arbor joins him
good
now.
Morning.
Lori is Nathan's wife. Good morning to you too,
hey,
Lori.
And good morning.
So good to have you. And you two are going to sing "Nobody Loves Me Like You Do" by Whitney Houston and Jermaine Jackson, right?
That's right.
Okay, guys, let her rip.
I was words without a tune,
a poem with no rhyme, a dancer out of time. But now there's you.
Ooh, baby, now there's you. Nobody loves me like you do.
What if I never met you? Where would I be right now? Funny how life just falls in place somehow.
Well, you touched my heart in places
that I never even knew. Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me like you do. Nobody loves me like you do. Oh, oh yeah.
That's just great. That's Lori Arbour, Nathan Granter singing Nobody Loves Me Like You Do. That was great, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks for
just a lot of fun. Rose from Lawrence wrote us this, Rob. Do you have to go to a bar to do karaoke? What are the alternative places?
You know, karaoke can happen anywhere. It's really amazing. My nieces and nephews are really into it just because they have karaoke settings on their video games. So these are toddlers, and they love to do karaoke versions of songs that come loaded on the video games, like songs like Copacabana, songs that my sister hoped that she was pretty much done hearing for the rest of her life. And it's funny that that's how the little kids get into it. It's something that can happen in various kinds of venues. Some of my sober karaoke friends like to avoid any kind of bar setting and just do karaoke at just other kinds of designated karaoke areas.
And then Becky writes us this, Rob. I want to do it, but I'm scared. How do I get past the stage fright?
I think to just sort of bring a friend and just sing backup choruses until you naturally slip up into being the Jermaine Jackson to somebody's Whitney Houston or the Whitney Houston to somebody's Jermaine Jackson. But I think to slip in as part of a group or duet is probably the easiest way. That's what I would recommend.
And go with a song that you probably just love to death too, probably, right?
Yeah, I would pick Easy by Lionel Richie and the Commodores, because that's a nice easy way to ease yourself into the karaoke mindset.
Well, that's just great. Well, Rob, you've been just a terrific guest. What a fun segment this has been. Again,
thanks so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely, Rob. And give us the title of your book again one more time, would you?
Turn Around Bright Eyes, The Rituals of Love and Karaoke.
There you go. And that's Rob Sheffield. He's a contributing editor at Rolling Stone. Rob, thanks so much. I really enjoyed having you.
Thank you so much. So great to talk to you.